On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
Hold everything. It's 12 days of our favorite shows and 12 days until your excuses for 2018 run out. Say hello to January 2nd, 2019, and time to make some magic, people. We've got a lot of great shows, guests, and special weekly segments coming your way. So for now, enjoy the year in review and get ready for amazing things in 2019. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. And today we've got a very special guest. It's an old, I don't want to say old friend. It's a friend of mine that I've known for a very long time. I was on her board many years ago, and it's nice to actually reconnect. We were talking before the show, and we talked a very long time. It's an organization that I've kind of been associated with and around since they started. And I can't believe what we were talking was 2000. I'm interviewing today a friend of mine that I've known for quite some time. It's Pam Gaber, the CEO and founder of Gabriel's Angels. And a lot of you probably have heard of her, the organization, because they're very well known here in town. Their whole mission is about pets helping kids. And they're there to inspire confidence and compassion and best behaviors in at-risk children through pet therapy. And the amount of things that they've done over the years as it's grown is just incredible. So Pam, thank you for coming on. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I have to tell you that it was a lovely recovery on the quote, old friend comment. And then you glossed over that. It's just because we've known each other a long time. And then you kept going on and on. I want to give you an A+. On recovery from that. So good job.
Yeah. Thank you. Just like anything else, we both have obviously known each other for a while and you get older.
Yeah.
We both have gotten older and then you just have to start changing your adjectives as you're describing yourself. So I appreciate you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's talk about Gabriel's Angels, how it started and as much information as you can give us with the time that you've got.
Well, thank you, and I just really appreciate reconnecting with you, and you know, you were back with us in the early days, you know, a startup and being scrappy, and not many nonprofits make it to 18 years because the survival rate for a nonprofit starting in inception and a for-profit, 95% of them are gone in 5 years. So it really takes a lot of tenacity, a lot of gray hair, a lot of, you know, 24/7. To be where we are today. And you've heard me say this in the past that, you know, Gabriel's Angels started on accident, but it continues with unbridled purpose. And I'll give you the short version, but I took my one-year-old Weimaraner back in about 1999 in to visit children who were victims of abuse and neglect at the crisis nursery here in town. And it was their holiday party. I was volunteering there, so I knew the kids. And, of course, I'm talking nonstop about my new Weimaraner puppy. I mean, who wouldn't, right? You've met Gabe.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
So cute.
Yeah.
He was adorable. So I took him to the nursery, dressed as Rudolph to the Christmas party for fun. I thought I'd go in, the kids can finally meet him. They bonded with him through all the stories that I was telling them when I volunteered there. And sure enough, I stood there, Michelle, and I was watching a gentle gray dog reach children like no adult could. And these children who were normally angry and violent were loving and kind, and they would hug Gabriel and take his ear, which is like velvet, and put it on their cheek. And I wanted to, like, ask him, like, what are you doing, you know? And really, he simply was doing what dogs do best. And children that day were amazing and loving. And the whole head of the crisis nursery said to me, She goes, I don't know what happened here today, but would you bring them back? And, you know, I felt like someone called my child a genius. and Gabe's calendar was fairly open. And, you know, I just realized that I was embarking upon something so special. And after I said, sure, you know, I'll bring them back, and I drove home that day, my intention was I'm going to join a group, a nonprofit or whatever, whoever is visiting abused, neglected, and at-risk children with their dogs, because I knew that dogs went into hospitals, right? We know about therapy dogs in hospitals, and we know about therapy dogs in nursing homes, so I'm going to join the group, except there wasn't the group because it didn't exist. You've known me a long time. I could have done nothing, or I could have done something. I'm a something kind of girl, which at times can get me into trouble, but this one actually worked out pretty well. And, you know, I started Gabriel's Angels. This community's been amazing. There's so many wonderful people that have wonderful dogs that become registered therapy teams. The community has supported us through funding and support. And, you know, I as you, excuse me, cannot believe at all that it was 18 years. It just doesn't seem possible. But, you know, we lost Gabe on May 10th, 2010. So it's been 8 years since he's been gone. And wow. This organization has continued. And so it's for him and to his legacy, I think, that my staff and my board and myself, we, you know, it's kind of like let's keep his legacy alive, because he was the inspiration behind the whole thing.
This whole thing started by accident. I mean, who knew that a dog was that smart to basically start your nonprofit for you?
Yeah,
more power to
the dog. He didn't
do
any of the
right?
fundraising. He didn't
no.
do any of the driving. He didn't do any of the accounting.
Well, I mean, he didn't fill out the paperwork and put his paw as a little stamp. But I mean, it was enough to get you to do something,
yeah.
And you didn't have to. I mean, you were in the corporate world. You were doing amazingly well, and then all of a sudden, you decided taking on this adventure just because it was what you felt needed to be done, especially to service the community. And when you tried to see what else was there, there was nothing.
Right. And I know that what I'm going to say is a whole other show, but I think what happened was I was ready to see my purpose. Like, I think we are tapped on the shoulder by a higher power a lot, and we're busy. We're rushing from here to here. We're thinking about this. We're doing that. We're multitasking. Oh, that was nice. And we go on with our lives. And that was that I had my one moment where I saw what was happening, and instead of going back home and being busy doing something else, it so moved me that I allowed it to sit with me. And I went, Gabriel just changed those kids, so what was that about? And why isn't there an organization doing this? And why, like, what are the barriers for entry? Well, if no one's doing it in the entire state of Arizona, I think I have a pretty good chance because it's that unique. But I allowed that moment to be the inspiration, where if that had happened 10 years before, Michelle, I would have not seen it. I was on some other thing, doing some other plane to some other corporate gig. And I think that that's a story in itself, that we have moments that we miss because we're not aware.
Like you said, it's going to be another show, but it means that you weren't ready to take it to the next level. Maybe if you did do it back then, it wouldn't have been done right, or it wouldn't have been something
right.
Where there was a long-term legacy. Or it's just, you know, it's about the timing, too. So you were ready to do it, and all of a sudden, but it worked out. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's amazing what you started with to where you are now.
Yeah, yeah. Labor of love, for sure. We now have 180 therapy teams. We're from Prescott all the way down to Sierra Vista. There's 10 full-time staff, you know, that run the organization. And it went beyond just working with groups of children, which is how we initially started, where I would have activities that brought the kids in closer contact with Gabriel. And then that's when these behaviors such as compassion and empathy, attachment, affiliation, all the behaviors that our parents cared enough to teach us, the dog becomes the teacher. So we did that with groups of children, 8 to 10, in the group, an infant really to age 18. And now we've expanded into an individual intervention program where the most traumatized children actually sit with their therapist and the therapy dog. And then we have a reading program where children learn to not only read at their grade level, but they gain confidence. They have an attachment to the therapy dog. All those behaviors we're trying to teach, we're now in Title I schools with that. It's called Animals, Books, and Children program. So, you know, I'm kind of like you. I'm always open to the next thing that within Gabriel's Angels, and it's just been, you know, it's just been such an honor to build this and to have it last and to have this community embrace us. I mean, that's the hardest part, starting anything new, is, oh, it's very cute, you're doing pet therapy with abused kids, come see me, you know, when you've been doing it 5 years. And the odds are I wouldn't have been. But I just kind of am a little bit stubborn about stuff like that, you know.
That's a good thing. That's a gift and a talent, because you wouldn't be anywhere where it could be today or where it's even going if you didn't have those, what you want to call it, skills, issues, talents, or almost as a burden. You know, I mean, your reasons why you do things, your labor of love, your ability to just have that drive and not take no for an answer and to do things that people normally wouldn't even think about doing, that doesn't exist in many people. So
I think most people
go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what my mother always told me. Don't interrupt.
Well, when you're not in front, yeah, I'm not even going to tell you the things my mom used to say, but there's a long list, and there's certain phrases that people that I know, they're like, Michelle, they'll repeat it to me, and they're like, yeah, that's what your mom would be saying right now. It's just a little more difficult.
No, they always sit on our shoulder, don't they?
And it's just a little more difficult when two people aren't sitting in front of each other. We're doing it remotely, but in the future, hopefully we'll be able to do it in person. So
yes,
you get that little stepping on. So I apologize. So go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say.
So did I. That's the beauty of just going with the flow, man.
That's what we were going to do today.
And we've done it very,
very
well.
Maybe somebody can call in and tell us what we were saying.
Well, would be easier, you know, like, okay, now attention studio audience, please, and don't send any letters. We don't want any letters unless there's a check involved in the envelope.
But I kind of bet that now that we've gone through how the agency and how large it is, people listening may say, well, I think I have a great dog. And so, you know, the process of becoming a therapy team, there's some work to it, because all of our teams are volunteer. They all have to go through either one of two national organizations to get registered as a therapy team. And then, you know, our organization does the training. What do you do with groups of 8 to 10 children? How do you bring them in closer contact with the animal? We've got super professional volunteer coordinators that really ready that amazing person with their amazing dog that thankfully know very little about children that have been abused, neglected, or are at risk. We help them to know what to do with the children, how to interact, and how to make that impact. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure children have those core behaviors that most of these children they haven't had the opportunity to learn them, because humans have been very disappointing to these children. Well, in walks a four-legged, unconditional, non-judgmental friend that accepts these kids. And that's really, I mean, I tell you, we could not do what we do without the dogs. I mean, you know, I got to go cool places because Gabriel was invited and he doesn't drive. So I think that people, that there's wonderful people listening with wonderful dogs. The GabrielsAngels.org website talks about that. But, you know, one thing we've learned over 18 years, Michelle, is my service delivery vehicle, i.e. the therapy dog, they have a short lifespan. And so we're constantly recruiting, because people say, oh, you have enough teams? Well, I don't know the next retirement that's going to happen. And we don't know the next dog, unfortunately, that's going to pass away. And we've been doing this for 18 years. And right around year 10, we went, whoa, now we're really noticing this attrition due to the health of the therapy dog. So we always are looking for teams, and people that don't have the right dog, they can become an assistant to the therapy team. We call that the helping hand, and it's so awesome, because I had a helping hand when Gabriel and I visited at Crisis Nursery for 10 years, and I got so dependent on Linda that I was like, don't go on vacation, because my visit's not going to be the same unless, you know, Gabe and I want you to be on our visit. And I became very dependent in a good way on that help. And so there's many, many ways to get directly involved with the mission where the rubber hits the road. There's board memberships, there's committee memberships for people that want to donate a little more of their time. We talked about this earlier before we went on air, but the resource engine and the fund development piece of it is what keeps all this going. So we have events throughout the year. Again, our website is like so awesome, but there's ways people can help if they're so moved. We probably, all of us, grew up with a pet, and I know what I remember. What was your pet's name when you were a kid?
Well, the first one before it ran away when we went on our first trip, one of our first road trips, was Cuddles. And then I took my brother's cat because I had none, right? And he didn't necessarily want to take care of it, and that was Jingles. But that was officially my cat, Jingles.
Aw, see.
It was like a person. It talked to me. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. Yeah.
Well, just think what Jingles did for you as a child. of a normal, if you will, childhood, and then think about what that therapy dog can mean to that kid who has lived in a world distrustful of adults, and that dog opens their heart. You know, it's pretty amazing stuff.
It's something that could change the trajectory of that child's life.
Exactly.
Because you've been doing this for so long that you could, or even if it's possible, go find some of these kids and see how they turned out, or even have a conversation to say, all right, what was the point where you changed? And they go, well, it's because you brought that dog into that thing that day, because this is what happened at home that day, and the dog made me have confidence that it's going to be okay.
I think really cool too is our YouTube channel has video of the kids that we've kept in contact with. Well, actually, they have to keep in contact with us, and it's generally that they're teenagers, and they roll out of the system, and they have the wherewithal to locate. And we've got just beautiful stories of these kids. That one simple short one is David, that we worked with at a group home in Mesa, goes, Tuesday's my favorite day because that's the day Noah comes. And that was the therapy dog. You know, these kids, it's given these kids hope and something to look forward to, which in their lives they just haven't had the opportunity for, and they know the day that the dog's coming, so that's pretty cool.
There's opportunities for people to participate in your organization, even if they don't have a dog.
Right.
So there's so many ways that somebody can create more Davids out there and give these kids a chance, because they just don't have the opportunity. They've not been exposed to it. And 10 years later, that he's giving you feedback to saying that was something that changed his life. I mean, that's amazing for something so simple that makes such a big difference in these kids' lives.
And, you know, the dogs do the work. I mean, there's that special connection between children and animals that's undeniable. Now, sometimes the children we deal with, because they've come from a home where there is domestic violence frequently, there's the pit bull chow mix tied up to the chain link fence who's also in the cycle of violence. And sometimes those dogs, because of the way they've been treated, aren't very nice. And so initially, sometimes these kids can be a little fearful, a dog. And then that they learn is that this is a dog who was loved as a child pretty much in the family. The therapy dogs live better than a lot of the kids we serve. So it's just such a connection that dogs are in the present moment, kids are in the present moment. Gabriel never said, oh, darn it, I'm still mad about that rabbit that got away this morning. And he wouldn't go, I can't wait to go home and take a nap. No, they're in the present moment. And that presentness is something that we all can learn from, because very rarely as adults are we, and when I get in the present moment and I come out of it, I'm like, whoa, it was so awesome because I was in the moment, versus thinking about what's going to happen, what's my next appointment, or thinking about what happened yesterday. I've learned a whole lot by watching Gabe with those kids. I really have.
It's very powerful stuff. Yes, the kids get a lot out of this, but I think that you and your staff and the volunteers that help with the dogs, they might actually get a little more out. So it's pet therapy for the adults too.
It's interesting you said that, because I said to my friend years ago, I said, John, I get so much out of this. I love this. I feel selfish. I'm getting something out of this. And he looked at me and he said, the world would be a better place if people were selfish then. It would be a better place. Do not lament that you feel like you get something out of it, because what you're giving is immeasurable to those kids. And I went, okay. And then I kind of came to terms with, gosh, okay, it's okay that I feel good as well, and that these teams, these humans, part of the team, would never have stepped a foot in an arena called child abuse, period, but they will when they can go with their dog. And that's changed their lives, too, because then they've understood what happens in the state of Arizona with abused, neglected, and at-risk youth. And it's there, but we don't see it in our nice suburbs. You know, we have to travel to go visit kids in a homeless shelter because we don't have homeless shelters in our neighborhood. Well, that's good, but it's the fact that they exist needs to be known. You know, and the domestic violence shelters are there. And these kids are in all these places. They're in group homes. They're in Title I schools. They're in Head Start programs. They're in after-school programs for low income. I mean, they're wherever they are, that's where we find them because we go to the agencies that serve them. We don't go into the individual homes. First, you know, a lot of that safety reasons as well. But where these kids are, that's where we go. And the nice part is dogs are transportable.
Just going down that tangent to even explain some of the different names of what they meant for the schools and stuff and what these kids are involved in and where they go. A lot of people don't know what that even means. That's a whole nother segment and show that we're going to have to go down the road of. But
I would think talking about child welfare in Arizona would be a good topic.
Oh, and I'm sure it's gotten a lot worse since you started in 2000. I can't imagine it getting better.
I can take you down that road.
Seems like it's getting more intense and probably the situations are more dire. And I don't even want to think about that right now. Like, let's just make sure that there's more funding for more dog therapy teams so that we can fix those problems because those problems aren't going away. They're only getting worse. So many things that you're doing in that capacity. You've got all these different programs now. So it's just wonderful that you stuck with this. So thank you, Pam Gaver, for sticking with your idea, especially when it got a little 2010 and 11, it was tough for nonprofits and you just kept going strong and you didn't have to do that. I mean, you had a corporate world that you could have just went and said, you know what, I don't need to do this. And you didn't. So the community thanks you. And I sincerely mean that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. So Pam, can you give your contact information and the website? And then we're definitely having you back on, but I know that you've got to go. So we're going to just sum it up real quick. So give your contact information so people can get a hold of you, Gabriel's Angels, and all the above.
Absolutely. Okay. So start at our website, gabrielsangels.org. Has a ton of information, and then our main office number, we have a location here, our administrative office in Phoenix, is 602-266-0875. So we'd love to hear from you, and thank you all for listening out there. Michelle, thank you so much. I'm so glad we reconnected.
Oh, I am too. It's long overdue, but then I think maybe, like you said, everything has a time and a place and a reason, so I'm just glad that we're back on track. And Pam accepted our offer to be one of our expert contributors, where we're going to be able to talk about different things that are going on in the nonprofit community. So we'll start doing that in the next couple of weeks. You're going to hear a lot more of Pam. There's going to be some really interesting and some wonderful things that you're going to learn, especially about the impacts and public policy and child welfare and what's going on in Arizona. So Pam, thank you so much for coming on. And I look
thank
forward
you,
to
Michelle.
Seeing you very soon.
You
Have
betcha.
A wonderful day.
You
I appreciate
too.
You've been listening to me speak with Pam Gaver, a friend of mine, and she's the CEO and founder of Gabriel's Angels, where they're pets helping kids. Again, her information is going to be on our website, and that is everythinghomepodcast.com. Please go ahead and check that out. And you could always listen and subscribe through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Player FM, and also Blog Talk Radio. They're doing great stuff. Please learn about them. And again, Pam's going to be on in the future. She's going to be one of our expert contributors. So you'll hear much more from her about Gabriel's Angels and nonprofits in general. So I appreciate everybody listening today. Make it a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick.